First Presidency Message, The Faith of a Child by President Thomas S. Monson, First Counselor in the First Presidency. What a truly glorious period of the year is conference time. Temple Square in Salt Lake City is the gathering place for tens of thousands who travel far that they might hear the word of the Lord. The tabernacle fills to overflowing. Friendly conversation is replaced by the music of the choir and the voices of those who pray and who speak. A sweet reverence fills the air. General conference commences. As a speaker, it is a humbling experience to gaze on friendly faces and to appreciate the faith and devotion to the truth they represent. On one occasion, as I stood to address a conference congregation, I observed in the north balcony a beautiful girl of perhaps 10 years. I felt impressed to speak directly to her. I began, "Sweet little one, I do not know your name or whence you have come. This, however, I do know. The innocence of your smile and the tender expression of your eyes have persuaded me to place aside for a future time the message I had prepared for this occasion. Today, I shall speak especially to you. When I was a boy your age, I too had a teacher in Sunday school. From the Bible, she would read to us of Jesus the Redeemer and the Savior of the world. One day, she taught us how the little children were brought to him, that he should put his hands on them and pray. His disciples rebuked those who brought the children, but when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased and said unto them, 'Suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God.' That lesson has never left me. Indeed, years ago I relearned its meaning and partook of its power. My teacher was the Lord. May I share with you this experience." Far away from Salt Lake City and some 80 miles from Shreveport, Louisiana, lived the Jack Methvin family. Mother, Dad, and the children are members of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. There was a lovely daughter who, by her presence, graced that home. Her name was Crystal. She was but 10 years old when death ended her earthly sojourn. Crystal liked to run and play on the spacious ranch where her family lived. She could ride horses skillfully and excelled in 4-H work, winning awards in the local and state fairs. Her future was bright and life was wonderful. Then there was discovered on her leg an unusual lump. The specialists in New Orleans completed their diagnosis and rendered their verdict: carcinoma. The leg must be removed. Crystal recovered well from the surgery, lived as buoyantly as ever, and never complained. Then the doctors discovered that the cancer had spread to her tiny lungs. Crystal's condition deteriorated. The end drew nigh, but her faith did not waver. She knew that stake conference was approaching. To her parents she said, "Do you think whoever is assigned to our stake conference could give me a blessing?" Meanwhile, in Salt Lake City, with no knowledge of the events transpiring in Shreveport, an unusual situation developed. For the weekend of the Shreveport, Louisiana State Conference, I had been assigned to El Paso, Texas. President Ezra Taft Benson, who was then president of the Quorum of the 12 Apostles, called me to his office and explained that one of the other brethren had done some preparatory work regarding the state division in El Paso. He asked if I would mind were another to be assigned to El Paso, and I assigned elsewhere. Of course, there was no problem. Anywhere would be fine with me. Then President Benson said, "Brother Monson, I feel impressed to have you visit the Shreveport, Louisiana stake." The assignment was accepted. The day came. I arrived in Shreveport. That Saturday afternoon was filled with meetings, one with the stake presidency, one with priesthood leaders, one with the patriarch, then yet another with the general leadership of the stake. Rather apologetically, stake president Charles F. Cagle asked if my schedule would permit me time to provide a blessing to a 10-year-old girl afflicted with cancer. Her name, Crystal Methvin. I responded that if possible, I would do so, and then inquired if she would be at the conference or was she in a Shreveport hospital. Knowing the time was tightly scheduled, President Cagle almost whispered that Crystal was confined to her home many miles from Shreveport. I examined the schedule of meetings for that evening and the next morning, even my return flight. There simply was no available time. an alternative suggestion came to mind. Could we not remember the little one in our prayers at conference? Surely the Lord would understand. On this basis, we proceeded with the scheduled meetings. When the word was communicated to the Methvin family, there was understanding, but disappointment as well. They prayed fervently, asking for a final favor, that their precious Crystal would realize her desire. At the very moment the Methvin family knelt in prayer, the clock in the stake center showed the time to be 7:45 p.m. The Saturday leadership meeting had been inspirational. I was sorting my notes, preparing to step to the pulpit, when I heard a voice speak to my spirit. The message was brief, the words familiar. "Suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God." My notes became a blur. My thoughts turned to a tiny girl who desired a blessing. The decision was made, the meeting schedule altered. After all, people are more important than meetings. I turned to Bishop James Sirrah and asked that he leave the meeting and advise the Methvins. The Methvin family had just arisen from their knees when the telephone rang and the message was relayed. They were informed that early on Sunday morning, the Lord's Day, in a spirit of fasting and prayer, we would journey to Crystal's bedside. I shall ever remember and never forget that early morning journey to a heaven the Methvin family called home. I had been in hallowed places, even holy houses, but never have I felt more strongly the presence of the Lord than in the Methvin home. Crystal looked so tiny, lying peacefully on such a large bed. The room was bright and cheerful. The sunshine from the east window filled the bedroom with light as the Lord filled our hearts with love. The family surrounded Crystal's bedside. I gazed down at a child who was too ill to rise, almost too weak to speak. Her illness had now rendered her sightless. So strong was the spirit that I fell to my knees, took her frail hand in mine, and said simply, "Crystal, I am here." She parted her lips and whispered, "Brother Monson, I just knew you would come." I looked around the room. No one was standing. Each was on bended knee. A blessing was given. A faint smile crossed Crystal's face. Her whispered, "Thank you," provided an appropriate benediction. Quietly, each filed from the room. 4 days later, on Thursday, as church members in Shreveport joined their faith with the Methvin family, and Crystal's name was remembered in a special prayer to a kind and loving Heavenly Father, the pure spirit of Crystal Methvin left its disease-ravaged body and entered the paradise of God. For those who knelt that Sabbath day in a sun-filled bedroom, and particularly for Crystal's mother and father, as they entered daily that same room and remembered how she left it, the immortal words of Eugene Field bring back precious memories. The little toy dog is covered with dust, but sturdy and staunch he stands, and the little toy soldier is red with rust, and his musket molds in his hands. Time was when the little toy dog was new, and the soldier was passing fair, and that was the time when our little boy Blue kissed them and put them there. "And now, don't you go till I come," he said, "and don't you make any noise." So toddling off to his trundle bed, he dreamt of the pretty toys. And as he was dreaming, an angel's song awakened our little boy Blue. "Oh, the years are many, the years are long, but the little toy friends are true. Aye, faithful to little boy Blue they stand, each in the same old place, awaiting the touch of a little hand, the smile of a little face. And they wonder, as waiting these long years through, in the dust of that little chair, what has become of our little boy Blue, since he kissed them and put them there." "For us there is no need to wonder or to wait," said the Master. "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die." To you, Jack and Nancy Methvin, he speaks, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." And from your sweet Crystal could well come the comforting expression, "I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there ye may be also." To my little friend in the upper balcony, and to believers everywhere, I bear witness that Jesus of Nazareth does love little children, that he listens to your prayers and responds to them. The Master did indeed utter those words, Suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. I know that these are the words he spoke to the throng gathered on the coast of Judea by the waters of Jordan, for I have read them. I know these are the words he spoke to an apostle on assignment in Shreveport, Louisiana, for I heard them. To these truths I bear record. Gospel topics, childlike faith, following the promptings of the Spirit, Holy Ghost, resurrection. Ideas for home teachers. Some points of emphasis. You may wish to make these points in your home teaching discussions. 1. Suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Mark chapter 10, verse 14, was the instruction of the Lord to his apostles regarding little children. 2. Our Father in heaven and our Savior love little children. Hear their prayers and respond to those prayers. 3. We are to nurture and sustain little children and learn from their faith and trust. Discussion helps. 1. Relate your feelings about the power of childlike faith and trust in our Heavenly Father and in His plan of salvation. 2. Are there some scriptures or quotations in this article that the family might read aloud and discuss? 3. Would this discussion be better after a pre-visit chat with the head of the house? Is there a message from the bishop or quorum leader? End of the First Presidency Message, The Faith of a Child, by President Thomas S. Monson, First Counselor in the First Presidency.